comes the Monday Marketing Huddle Podcast. We are here to provide you marketing tips and tricks to expand your business. And now your hosts, Debbie Pomeray and Darcy Garvin.
Good morning and welcome to the Monday Morning Huddle with D2 Media Team. We are the two Ds, Debbie Pomeray and Darcy Garvin. We are a media agency specializing in traditional and digital media to grow your business with strategy. And each week we host a special guest, or this week we host two special guests, to talk about their business, tell their story, and give our listeners some helpful and thoughtful tips to market your business. And this week we have two very special guests. We have Karen Carey and Justin Abbott from Town Square Media, which, as a side note, is also Town Square Interactive and Town Square Ignite, which we will have them explain later. And just to go into a little bit about our guest, Justin is the Regional Director of Programmatic Sales for Town Square Media. He oversees digital operations for the whole Northeast region. He brings 17 years experience in digital marketing with a strong understanding of marketing strategies, best practices, and emerging trends across multiple digital platforms. So Justin, Debbie and I are very lucky to have you part of our team in the last few months we worked on. But Karen Carey, Debbie and I both have a very strong relationship with, and she is the marketing president for Town Square Media in Utica. The market leadership includes oversight of broadcast and digital platforms and markets. She brings 32 years of marketing experience, and she was kind enough to say that she has worked with both Debbie and I in previous lives.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Very lucky.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. Yeah, we're excited to have you here. So let's get started. I mean, our goal is to share, you know, best practices with our listeners out there in marketing. And we think you guys have some great tips and ideas. So Karen, you know, I know Darcy hit on it. Can you kind of first explain, you know, the difference between Town Square Media, Interactive, and Ignite? And a lot of people probably still think of you as a radio company. So I think that's really interesting to our listeners.
Yeah. Town Square Media, first of all, I'm lucky to have worked with both of you in my previous life in Rochester. So hey. But when I moved back home here to Utica, I was really pleasantly surprised by Town Square Media as a company to have the opportunity to work here. And I'm not a drink the Kool-Aid kind of person, but I was just really blown away by the digital strategy of this company. It was built with a whole digital foundation in smaller to medium markets. So people might think of it as a radio company. We do have the top radio brands in our market, but the whole company itself was built on the premise of having like a strong digital foundation. So we have kind of, it's the third largest media company in the country, by the way, even though it's in those small to medium sized markets in 67 markets. But we kind of branch our digital into two separate divisions that Darcy referenced before. And they have to go hand in hand. The first one is Town Square Interactive. And what that division does is help build websites that are really great websites, landing pages, highly competitive rates. And we have in the past 8 years built over 60,000 websites.
Wow.
So we have, now we have 570 employees. They actually work out of our Charlotte hub, but I have two who work here with me right out of my office. And we've got it down to a really great system to build these affordable websites. And the reason why that was built was that we found that people need a great website to do digital marketing. They have to have that before they can launch their digital marketing. So that's one division. The other one, I'll quickly explain, is our branded name Ignite. It's our programmatic division. And the thing that I think is unique about that also is that it's all in-house in Town Square. We don't outsource it to another party. We have 100 programmatic digital media buyers that work directly for our company hand in hand with us. And we have a team of 20 social media buyers that are real experts in social media. Again, part of our company in-house. So our buyers have seats on the exchange and they can buy the top best inventory at the best rates and really just work hand in hand with us, with clients on their strategies. And just to have that direct contact is great. And that's really, you know, the foundation of those two divisions. And then Justin, who's here, is really, he helps oversee that whole programmatic division for the Northeast and has a lot of experience in that and working with our team. And like you said, with you guys.
That's great. That's amazing. 60,000 websites. I mean,
yeah.
So something that was funny, our Ignite or programmatic division actually spawned from us doing a lot of events and self-promoting events. So whether it's a concert, a beer festival, selling tickets is never easy because there's always a lot going on. So we naturally were doing like Facebook and Google and display ads. And then we realized, well, it's driving us, you know, a ton of revenue and a ton of results for the event side that we ended up really scaling the business. So we kind of learned inside out, as opposed to some others, just kind of take it on as a product. But we learned a lot along the way.
Right, because you knew how to get the results and then you could share them with other clients. And
that's right.
Yep. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and I think that's what I think struck me, because Karen reached out to me, you know, thought she was just calling to say hi, but of course she went into her programmatic pitch.
Come on, I was saying hi too.
But I was like, what? And I'm like, oh my God, Darcy, we need to talk to her, because I just thought you were just, you know, still sold radio, which we love radio, don't get me wrong, but I was surprised that I hadn't heard about this. And yeah, so I thought it was great. And you have a great team, and I thought you'd be a great guest to kind of share some of the tips. You know, Justin, you've helped us quickly. You know, what do you think are like three simple rules for digital marketing? Like, what do the businesses need to know, you know, for digital marketing to be successful?
So it's funny, because a lot of the pitfalls I see happening in digital, I see happening overall when it comes to marketing. And that's really like just marketing because I feel like I have to market, and sometimes like chasing the pixie dust, like what everyone's saying, the next big trendy thing. When the reality is, the first tip or first step is, you know, defining that problem and what we really need to do. And oftentimes because problems come in many sizes and shapes. So what we try to do is narrow them down to, you know, is it an awareness problem? Do you want people just to know who you are, be a category king? Are you looking to educate someone on your product or company? Or do we just need to drive leads? Is this a sales game that we're getting them through? But again, that's not unique to digital, but it's a common problem I see time and time again. As it relates to digital though, which is a few of the other tips tie in as well. Digital allows us to be very specific, period. So the second tip I would say is defining that audience, no longer just females 25-54 or adults 25-54.
Right. Yeah, refreshing, right?
What's that?
That sounds so refreshing. That's my first part of my career.
But like we always see the advantage of digital being like, I can see results and I know who's clicking, but that's not really the advantage. That's not the true strength of it. It's nice and it allows us to understand what's working or what we need to put some attention towards. But the true advantage is being able to take what was otherwise a huge audience in the past and narrow it down to that person that's going to solve my problem, whatever said problem is going to be. And that also leads to my next point is once you've defined that person, we want to make sure we're speaking to them appropriate. And I always Mama Abbott, I use as the example all the time. But she's different depending on, you know, who she's talking to. She's different with me. She's different to my father. And then she's different with her girls on a Friday night, wherever she's going out to dinner. I can promise you
I
that.
Don't want to know about that.
Justin, what do you call her again?
Mama Abbott.
Mama Abbott. I love it.
But like, it's that cadence, that context of how you're talking to someone. And in the marketing world, like, and again, if we're sticking with that female age demo, 25 to 54, a woman who's late 20s is in a completely different place in her life than someone late 40s. And it's not that you can't talk to them generally, but take advantage of the opportunity to narrow that focus and really say something that's going to get her attention when she's looking for a said product or service, or she doesn't even know, and we're going to introduce it into her life. So knowing what to say. And then to the third point, so if it's to define your audience, talk to them, you know, as they want to be spoken to. And then the third one is the right place at the right time. So I truly believe, like, everyone, that's always been something thrown in marketing for forever. But today, I believe it's more true than ever before, because when someone's ready to buy or they're looking for more information, I mean, how we buy cars is completely changed, right? How we even do holiday shopping with gift guides has completely changed. And we're doing a ton of research. So finding the right platform to have that conversation with someone, to either educate them or drive them to the sale. Right channel, right time, more important now than ever before.
Yep, that's great.
Yep.
But there's like so many digital like tactics, right? Like sometimes yes. I walk out and I scratch my head, I'm like, oh my God, which tactic do they need? I mean, we always talk a lot about the marketing funnel. We're big fans of the marketing funnel with our customers. I mean, what is your thoughts on that? You know, taking the funnel and what products make the most sense when, right?
Sure.
Once you define the audience and you know what to say and you're in the right place, like what tactic, right?
Yeah, and like, well, what's the OG almost, the OG digital tactic is search engine marketing, right? Mm-hmm. And so many times my feedback from someone was, I'm doing digital marketing and I ask what you're doing and I'm doing Google. Well, I see Google truly as nothing more than someone answering your phones online, right? Mm-hmm. Someone, they're searching for a product, they're gonna pick one of 14 people on the search engine and they're gonna likely go through with the sale. So it's important, but we have to understand, I hate the word digital because it just, like you said, it takes all of these products and opportunities and platforms and we cram them into one little word. But understanding that search is really great end of funnel, but that can't be everything, right? Because how do I differentiate myself? How do I stand out from the one of 14 people on that search page? So what we want to do is, as I talked a little bit earlier when we kicked it off, we talked about like awareness, we talked about education, we talked about leads. So search is fantastic driving leads. Mm-hmm. But as we bump up and we take a look at like education, Facebook is a probably top four company in the world right now this morning, because they are so good at engaging people. And from a business side, social, the ability to educate, the ability to use video, the ability to tell your story and how this said product or service could fit in someone's life. Social is amazing for that. Again, if used properly, it's fantastic. And then upper end display, mass awareness amongst a larger audience. I look at display, I look at inventory. I hate to use cheap, but I can reach a lot of people for a little dollars and stay in front of them so that when the time comes, right, and I'm looking for that product or service, I'm just first in their mind.
Yeah.
And as I fall through the rest of the funnel. So what I see often happen is we just grab some things like geofencing, you know, the ability to put a circle around a location. Right. Sounds really cool, so I got to do that. Well, not necessarily. Like, is it right for you? Okay. Or, you know, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, my kids are on it, I should get my business on that. Are you sure? Like, even today, Twitter, I very rarely run into a situation where I think Twitter is a must have for a client. Very rare. So knowing your funnel, knowing what tactic is right for, again, what I need to say to who, is really the name of the game, and kind of will help reduce the slow movement towards insanity as you take a look at the thousands of options. Because once you piece everything out within a funnel, everything kind of quickly falls into place.
No, I love that, because so many times we'll be, you know, we do a lot of traditional, Darcy and I, we come in the meeting and the client's like, yeah, but look at all the clicks. And we'd be like, well, where do you think the clicks came from, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Point, like, nobody else gets credit in the room sometimes.
That's, you know, right.
So it's definitely the mix and knowing where it is in that funnel. So
one thing I'll say is I used to be a digital meathead. Like, I was an SEM guy for the longest time. I was like, why would you want to spend money on anything else? Completely contradictory. I just walked you through. But over time and experience, you know, remedied that, where you can actually begin to see the impact of traditional media, even within Google Analytics, right? If you run, whether it's radio or television, you'll see spikes within there. So I've come to learn that, you know, everything working together, piece of the pie, is the proper approach.
So you're a recovering digital meathead.
Yep. You know what? You're the first one to say that, but it's very true.
We're very proud of you. They send you your coin.
I was going to say, I need a 5-year pin at this point.
That is so funny.
So, you know, you mentioned TikTok. I mean, things just keep changing. And I guess the world we live in, you know, due to circumstances changing, you know, how do we prepare these businesses for the future? And what should they be thinking of for 2021?
Sure. So I'll give you two short-term like trends that we're really seeing. One particularly as we're coming out of COVID, which is email marketing. So email marketing has always, I have had an interesting relationship with over the last like 15 years. So when we really first started doing it, I mean, it was search, be it paid ads or organic, email, and then a mix of the display really. But email was big, say mid-2000s. And then over the course of 10, 12 years or so, open rates significantly declined as you had like text messaging and just other forms of communication being introduced online. Email just naturally saw a little bit of a slide over the years. Well, COVID, and in the last 9 months, we've seen an absolute resurgence in email. So whether it's people just now just spending more time potentially, you know, home or in front of their personal computer, open rates are double, click-through rates are double. We're seeing now around 20% open rates, which is phenomenal. I mean, if I send out an email to 50,000 people, on average, 10,000 are opening that email.
Wow. Which
that's unheard of. Yeah. I mean, it's not the days where you had 96% open rates, you know, but those are long gone. But had to have 1 out of 5 come through email is phenomenal, and it's direct correlation. Now, could that slide over the next couple of months? Sure, without a doubt. But I think it's backing away, and we take advantage of it now while we can.
I think we have more time again, right? I feel like just like some of the viewership and listenerships are up too. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so definitely that people should relook at email marketing. Anything else?
Yeah, along the similar line, social. I mean, we're all spending a ton of time on it, and it's. The thing is, I wouldn't say social is new because by any means, and to most small businesses, whether on the organic side, when they say it's something I want to do 2 to 3 times a week, or on the paid side, maybe they're even doing some boosted posts here or there. Social has to really be taken serious because I think equal to your website or your local store, your social presence online, be it ads, be it organic, can be a make or break as we're moving forward, particularly in some industries such as local retail, without a doubt, restaurants. I think those sorts of businesses that have a stronger social influence will be the ones coming out of COVID in a much stronger position. So,
I agree. Justin, you have been great. Karen, you have been great. And I just want to go over the 3 simple rules from Justin, because I think they are so great for any company. Define what you need to do. Awareness, education, drive leads. Be very specific. Define your audience and narrow it down. Don't just say women 18 plus, 18, 24, 18, 50, right. Whatever. And speak to them appropriately in the right place at the right time, like Mama Abbott does.
There you go.
love it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's great. That's great. Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for being here. And if anyone is interested in talking to Karen and Justin further, please contact Debbie or myself at D2media@d2-media.com. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
Take care.
All right.